Let Roger tell his story. He's got a fantastic one. We're going to have an offering today for the School of Missions. Any offering today that goes anywhere in the churches where missionaries are, the offering goes to Northwest School of Missions, and that money gets divided equally among the missionaries after their travels. So that benefits them. So if you're writing a check, write it to Athena Christian Church. We'll write one check to Northwest School of Missions. If you're giving cash, please put it in an envelope. Envelopes are on the back table there. You can put in an envelope. There might be some envelopes in your pew pocket, too. And just write School of Missions on it. Okay? So, Roger, come on up.
Can you guys hear me? Am I on? You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God does not give us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Amen?
Amen.
2 Timothy 1:7. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. I heard it talked about fear, and fear is the number one enemy. Satan would love to use it in all our areas of life to keep us away from making a difference. And I just want to first and foremost thank God for Pastor Dell and Athena ACC, and recognize Chuck Hook and all the team members, Steve and Frank and Laren and Dan Hamilton, for inviting us through Northwest Schools of Mission to come share what God is doing nowadays in our lives. Amen. And you know, and the theme this year is, what in the world is God doing now? What in the world is God doing now? Let me pray before we begin. Let's bow our hearts to our Lord. Father God, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you so much for breathing the breath of life into each one of our lungs, even right now. We thank you, Lord, for loving us in spite of us and for dying on that cross with us in mind. And we just ask now that you help me get out of the way. May I decrease as you increase. May I be a mouthpiece of righteousness and speaker of truth to bring love, grace, and accountability to a church family that loves you. And I ask, Lord, that you come now, fall fresh on each one of us, healing us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. This we pray in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. I will. I'm going to go up there right now. Let's get this on first here. What in the world is God doing now? Hopefully he's turning on this projector. All right. Let's see. I won't need that right now. Okay, perfect. What in the world is God doing now? The scriptures they use is Psalm 67. If you like to follow along, Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. What is God doing now? Well, you know, my name is Roger Munchian. I was born and raised in Armenia, Yerevan, in a communist country. At age 8, moved out to L.A., culture shock. I had an alcoholic father. He was always talking about his concentrated camp days in Siberia, when Stalin moved a lot of our people because they were Christians to it. And I just got sick of hearing that, and I just kind of rebelled and went out and did life on my own. My mom was working 2-3 jobs, and you know, really, I had to learn how to be an adult at a young age in Los Angeles. Didn't know a word of English, and pursued the things of this world because I realized money seemed to be the answer to everything out there. What in the world is God doing now? Well, I don't think God is doing anything different than what he's been doing all along. We have the same God yesterday, today, and forever, amen? Same God. And what has he been doing ever since men started listening to women? We had a curse in this world, amen? That was supposed to be funny, you know, Adam and Eve. Yeah. Good morning, ACC. Come on, we could do better. Good morning, ACC. All right. Thank you for bringing the church into this building. Because, you know, ACC is not this building. ACC is you and you and you and you and me today. Amen? Coming together to fellowship, to hear from him, And I do pray that you do hear from him in ways that we can't even imagine. Pursuing the things of this world led me to facing capital punishment in 1997. I was on death row. I had lots of money. Came wealthy at age 17, going from the projects of Los Angeles to becoming my own God. Now, mind you, I grew up in a country that called themselves Christian. They were proud to be Christian because Armenia was the first country in the world in 301 AD to adopt Christianity as their country's religion. So we started just playing the part, had the label as a Christian. I believed in a God all my life, and the truth was it was tradition, religion, and in reality, I never even knew what it was to be a Christian. I think many times the church can, you know, get into this mode of complacency, comfort zone, and lose track of the focus and the purpose why we exist. Well, God had a way of getting a hold of my attention. He loves me so much, he chose to do whatever it took to get my attention. After 12 felonies, you know, I feel that each one of those arrests, God was pursuing to rescue me, but I never understood that perspective until the last one, where all the money in the world could not save me. And I was a multimillionaire, mind you, by then. Had my own enterprise. Had a ring of 18 syndicate leaders nationwide trafficking tons of marijuana from the Mexican-Arizona border into the United States. Making lots of money. Always saying I was a Christian. You know, going to church twice, three times a year when someone was married, buried, and sometimes in Christmas. But never thought twice about, why am I calling myself a Christian? What does that mean? Caught up in that tradition and religion. You know, I inherited that, and that's all I knew. That's all my mom knew. That's all my grandma knew. And, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in that. We have good intentions, good motives. But until we face crossroads with trials in our life, sometimes we don't wake up to smell the coffee and ask, why do I exist? And in 1997 was my Damascus Road when God said, enough is enough. I had double aggravated manslaughter charges, facing capital punishment, and all of a sudden I was told no money in the world could bail me out. I was not bondable. That was the very first time I truly, truly, with pure motives, turned to the ceiling as if there was something up there beyond the ceiling and said, God, do you really exist? Is there really a God, something more powerful than money? If there is, please help me because I no longer, my God, the money in this world, can no longer help me get out of this mess. And if you really exist, find me and don't send any humans because I was burnt by man, my dad, and I just did not trust anyone. There's too many opinions, too many denominations, too many perspectives. I said, God, you show me who you are. You teach me who you are. I want to commit my life to you. If you really exist, help me. Well, you know, my book's out now, and later on downstairs, we're going to have a lot more material, a lot more questions and answers, how you could obtain my book. I want to gift it to you, and I want to gift you some information downstairs later on, so make sure you guys come downstairs to address all your questions and get some spiritual material from us. But he did. He answered. Next morning, I was being bailed out. Two counts of aggravated assault, deadly weapon. It was still no joke after 12 felonies. But all of a sudden, I realized for the first time in my life, there's something more powerful than money out there. Did not know yet who he was. But I had this hunger and thirst, and all of a sudden I realized that I need to find this God. You know, long story short, I ended up only doing 5 years probation on the deal, and I changed my life. It took some time to change my life because I was dealing and wheeling and caught up in a lot of mess. Ultimately, you know, the guys never thought I could give away money like that and just step away from millions of dollars. But I realized there was only three directions I was going. If I continued that life, I was either going to die, I was going to end up in prison for the rest of my life like I should have been, or I'm going to be a changed man and find that God and serve him. And most of the 18 leaders that I was connected with, 16 out of 18 are now dead or they're in prison for the rest of their lives. I thank God for getting a hold of me, changing me, taking whatever he needed to do to get me to that position where I was on my knees and broken and truly now ask, do I really believe what I believe is really real? And my question to the church, and when I go speak at prisons, I ask them that, you know, I hear the wonderful songs. You know, we surrender and on our knees, you are our all, everything. But my question is it just a song that we sing because we come here 1 hour every Sunday? Is it driven by that tradition, that religion? Or is it true? You really can't wait. You're looking forward all week long to come back here and worship God and fellowship because you love him so much. You know, I would ask, you know, do you really believe? Pastor Dell asked the question, who loves Jesus? And I'm going to ask that question. Who loves Jesus? Anybody? Do you love him enough to do what he says? Do you love enough to do what he says, not just 1 hour on a church day, but every day, 24/7? It requires a life service, a lifestyle that reflects his kindness, his goodness, his grace, his love to others. Or is it just a lip service that we're just comfortable saying, but it's so difficult once we leave this place, we take off that mask and go back to our complacent, apathetic way to anger, frustration, greed, pornography, whatever the addictions may be, alcoholism. It's a serious issue in the church, in the prisons. What is in the world is God doing now? Well, let me tell you, he's been rescuing from the very beginning. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed, you know, he started a rescue mission. And he says in Colossians 1:13 that God is rescuing us from the dominion of darkness to bring us to the kingdom of his Son, who he loves, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. Amen? This is what God is doing. Nothing has changed. It's the church that has changed. We've gone to the left field from the focus of who he is and what he's doing in our lives. And so here in a minute, we're going to play a couple of videos. And I won't finish the whole slide. That way we could do the rest of it down there. But God is rescuing us. And sometimes that rescue comes via arrest. And that is my life story. I am the founder of Rescued Not Arrested. I founded Rescued Not Arrested in prison. Now, it wasn't for the manslaughter charge that in prison time. Ultimately, out of the federal courts, I was indicted to face consequences of networking cartels, money laundering, trafficking, large quantity of drugs, and running an illegal enterprise. So I got sucked into an indictment from the past. My past caught up with me to deal with when I was already born again and changed. But you know, God had a plan. He had to mold me, prune me, and teach me the lessons of trusting him in spite of the circumstances. And that's exactly what he did. Those was a federal case was dismissed, a state case picked up. I fought that case 5 years, and in the midst of it, I married my beautiful wife now, and I have 4 kids. And at that time, she was pregnant with our second when I had to self-surrender. And miraculously, because of an assassination attempt on my prosecutor the day before my jury picking, God used that evil to unhook me from doing life in prison. Again, I offer my book to you. Just come down and we'll figure out a way to get it to you. And God can use all things for those who love him. Amen? Amen. And here I am now, 13 years later, after doing 2 years in prison at Lewis and Buckeye, Arizona. Really, my Bible school, people say, I went to this Bible school, that Bible school. I went to Lewis. Oh, what Bible school is that? Oh, that's state prison out there. That's where God taught me everything I know. It really is. Matter of fact, I want to show you the Bible that he used to teach me everything. I still have it. I try not to use it too much. This Bible, in 2 years period of time, went from brand new leatherback Zondervan Life Application Study Bible to this. And God just poured into me vision and truth like never before. The Holy Spirit taught me what I needed to know. He put a vision in my heart because in prison, I first sensed what it was to be broken, heartbroken by a church family. The church family we were part of, small little church family just like this one, was loving us. We were great supporters, leaders, servants, tithers. And as soon as I went to prison, my wife was pregnant with our second child. We had a 1.5-year-old. And I wrote to the pastor over and over and over. No letters. Nobody wrote me back. My wife called. She needed help more than I did. No one returned her call. And all of a sudden, we felt stranded from our church after years of being there, committed every week. And I wondered, I was like, God, what's going on here? Where's your church? How come they're not responding? And he basically told me, you see a problem, Roger? Get up, get out, and do something about it. And that's exactly what I did. I took that to heart, started a ministry, started knocking at church doors, started speaking and challenging the church to love all sinners and not to categorize sin. It's a serious problem in our country, folks, categorizing sin somehow, some way, somebody else's sin that we don't like or understand is a lot worse than our little Christian zone sins. You're about to see a video reflecting that by Dr. David Jeremiah that I use. It's funny, but it'll break your heart because it's true. And I am a victim of that, where the church has put an arm's length. And even though they say they're Christian, even though they say they love Jesus, they had a problem sitting next to me. They have a problem accepting me. They had a problem working with me. And God forbid I should be a sex offender or anything else. Boy, that's like lepers of today's society. But you know, is their sin any different than ours? It really isn't. So I asked God to, I retired 7 years ago from my great paying job, and now I work for free every day because God has blessed me. So I have a company that others run now to go travel all over the nation, speak at churches and prisons to bring hope to the hopeless, help to the helpless, and to the church to challenge and love them enough to tell them the truth. Stop categorizing sin. Stop looking at the other sinner less than. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that we should condone sin. No, no, no. There should be consequences. There should be accountability. We will not condone sin, but we have to love the sinner and hate the sin. We've got to figure out how to do that together, folks. Amen. So now, after saying that, let's go ahead and watch this video. This video, I get pretty emotional because it's so true. It's so true. And how many of us could relate with the last guy? You don't know a lot about me. You know, we've got these thought frames and there's battle going on every day. And we all are sinners. And I pray that as I travel nationwide, as I travel in the Northwest here speaking, that the message is very clear that the church should never, ever categorize sin. We should try to figure out a way to love all sinners and hate the sin. And, you know, our ministry has started a great model in Arizona, the largest church in the state of Arizona called Christ Church of the Valley, and we've come up with a model how to do just that. And we take that model and we train, teach, and we'll talk more about the details downstairs because I got one more video I want to show you. Just 3 weeks ago, actually September 1st, God somehow, some way, using this shirt and logo of one of my volunteers that was walking in downtown area, made a connection with ABC 15, Channel 15 News. And Melissa walked up and said, what does that mean? And Rick said, well, it's rescued, not arrested, on and on and on. She gave her card and said, give it to Roger, I want to talk to him. I called him the very next day. It was that was Wednesday, and I called him Thursday. And she says, I want to come and do a report on what you're doing in jails because people need to hear good news coming out of jails. Because that's all they hear is bad news coming out of jails. And I said, sure enough. He goes, when are you doing your next baptism? I said, tomorrow morning. I said, I know Penn Zone, and we'll be there in the morning to film. And boy, it happened all within 3 days, just out of nowhere. And it's just been a blessing to us that God would use our ministry to expose through a newscast in Arizona and now everywhere. So I just hope that you see now what we do. Once we are surrendered and obedient, and congratulations to Jason and Jessica for baptism, this is the very first step moving forward with your ministry. You see, Jesus didn't need to be baptized, but before he did anything, any miracle, any work, he was first baptized. And then his work began. So get ready for work, Jessica and Jason, because God is calling us, you see. So let's look at that clip here. Well, you know, I think we're right around the wire, aren't we? And just wanted to let you know what God has been doing. I think God is back. Well, I take that back. I don't think. I know God is still rescuing, and he wants to go back to Acts Church. He wants to say, church, let's get back to the roots. Let's get out there and disciple all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey. And so that's, he. You know what he started with when he started the missions 2,000 years ago? He started by picking up misfits. You know, murderers and prostitutes and tax collectors to change the world. I see God lifting ambassadors, total misfits in the prison system, raising them to make them the truth chasers and followers of Christ, where it's about life service and not lip service anymore, just like me, to come out to the church and help you get back to the roots of that journey. Amen? Amen. Thank you for having me. Amen.